evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Tuesday, July 25th, 2017. An official of the Steering Committee for the National Dialogue is encouraging South Sudanese to take part in the process.
We are informing them that it is the national dialogue of which everybody is supposed to be involved, quality inclusive, and also open and transparent.
And 8 people are dead after their passenger vehicle was ambushed north of Abyei town.
There was a vehicle that started its trip from Amiet Market towards Sudan. And those people were going to the north. They fall in an ambush and kill 8 people by unknown gunmen.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The deputy co-chairman of the National Dialogue Steering Committee is calling on South Sudanese to join the process in Juba. Gabriel Yol Dok says the national dialogue is the only way to reconcile South Sudanese. Dok met with members of Lama Call's National Democratic Movement in Khartoum this week to consult on the issues for discussion during the national dialogue. Dok says he will continue to meet other groups opposed to the Kiir administration.
My meeting in Khartoum is trying to reach some of the leaders in opposition who are Southern Sudanese, to consult with them for concerning the national dialogue. And I met leadership of National Democratic Movement led by Dr. Lama Call Jawin. This group, which we consider also to be a stakeholder for the people of the South Sudan, and need to be consulted as well.
And so what was the outcome of your meeting with Lama Call's group?
It is a consultative approach. The National Dialogue is just being launched. This is the first stage for the National Dialogue, to consult with the people so that we know their views or find data for them, because the whole problem is for the problem of South Sudan. The peace agreement has been signed, and of course, is not going forward very much, and therefore the people of South Sudan would like to even contribute to it.
From your consultation with the groups that you have met so far, how do you gauge their mood? Are they eager to join the national dialogue?
Well, we are informing them that it is the national dialogue of which everybody is supposed to be involved, quality inclusive, and also open and transparent, so that they can bring up their views over the national dialogue itself and also over the issues of the South Sudan itself. How can it be resolved? How can we go about it? Because what they call a compromise peace agreement, which was signed in Addis, is there, and things are still going very slow. Otherwise, war is still going on. The ceasefire is not concluded by all the sides, to say by the government on one side, but other fighting groups are still. So these 1,000 are thinking that they should put their head together and find a solution for themselves. And so we are consulting them. What do they contribute? They have ideas, of course.
How would you react to sentiments from other South Sudanese who are saying Juba is not the best venue for the national dialogue because there is no freedom of expression in Juba? People are afraid to speak because once you speak, you will be picked and arrested.
For us who are in Juba now, and if you come today, you cannot be arrested anymore for what you say. Therefore, we are saying that we should be free to talk. You cannot get any idea across, let you say it to the people so that people know what you stand for. But the personal opinion should not be a problem. And that is our country. And the government now is not harassing anybody for talking his own ideas. And this is national dialogue, maintaining itself as a neutral group which must behave in order to reach the people of the South to be able to solve their own problem. This is what it means.
From Khartoum, what is your next destination? Who are you planning to speak with?
We are ready for any group which is willing to join the dialogue because this dialogue is a forum where everyone must come and say his opinion as to what should be done and what should be the solution. You have known that the peace that was signed in Addis Ababa was signed, but some of the issues were not addressed. Because the root causes of the matter itself is not there, was not touched. So now I think the Saudis themselves should come up to find out why they cannot have peace.
That's Gabriel Yol Dok, Deputy Co-Chairman of the National Dialogue Steering Committee. He was speaking to me from Khartoum on Monday. The spokesman of the National Democratic Movement says his group is not willing to participate in the national dialogue. Emmanuel Aban says Juba is not the best venue for South Sudanese to speak freely about the root causes of the conflict in the country. Aban says the Kiir administration should first silence the guns before holding a national dialogue.
We presented to them a written position, and we had 6 points in them. One point we told them was this. First, the problem that we have in the country, the genesis of the problem, it is a result and a direct result of the failure of the SPLM leadership under President Kiir. Secondly, if you recall, the National Democratic Movement made its position quite clear way back then when President Kiir initiated the national dialogue process in 2016, to be precise, in December. And we told them that, first, the venue of the national dialogue itself is misplaced. It cannot be in Juba because Juba people cannot freely express their views, and a national dialogue will require an atmosphere where people could express their views. So the location itself was misplaced. Secondly, we believe
but let
that
me hold you. Let
certainly,
me, let,
national
let,
dialogue
let
cannot
me, let
be
me
held
come here,
when
Emmanuel,
the war is raging in the country.
Emmanuel, let's talk about that later, but let me hold you here about the venue. You're saying that the venue in Juba is not suitable for a national dialogue because people are afraid to speak. But the majority of the people are in the country. Majority of the South Sudanese are in the country. Only handful of you are outside. Why would you want to hold the process at ransom just because 30 people are outside the country and the majority are inside?
But this is what we are saying, John, that what is supposed to have been done first is for you to have an agreement to end the conflict in the country. Then you will talk about the national dialogue, and then the participation of the people comes in. And to talk about national dialogue while the war is raging, it is very difficult because even the members of the steering committee will not be able to have access to the opposition areas where they also have people that their views are critical and important to the process in the country. So what we are saying now is ending of the war should be the priority. After ending of the war, we could talk about the national dialogue. But we know that Fakir is holding this national dialogue to legitimize his government, which is completely now illegitimate. So we having an illegitimate government that is not in place to carry on a healing process in the country, and also for Fakir to be a patron to that process itself is insulting to the intellect
of the
president, people.
But the co-chair of the National Dialogue, Angelo Beda, said President Kiir is no longer the patron. He has handed over the process to the two co-chairs. So Kiir is no longer... There is no question of President Kiir being the patron of the dialogue.
Well, at the end of the day, John, what we are saying that it is... Look, the country needs peace first. We need stability in the country for us to talk about healing process and for us to talk about national dialogue. What is required is reaching a peaceful agreement and ending the hostilities and the violence that is taking place in the country. This is paramount, and this is the first step that needs to be taken.
But you are also...
If it was serious
your
about
movement,
really
your...
reaching an agreement and reaching a consensus across the board, he would have faithfully implemented the August signed peace agreement. Kiir and his government cannot be trusted.
So what did you agree with the team that you met in Khartoum? What was the meeting point?
We told them, as I told you now, that we will not participate in the national dialogue for the reasons that I have given you. But we told them the priority of the National Democratic Movement is how to bring an end to the conflict in the country. After that, we could talk about national dialogue.
That's Emmanuel Aban, spokesman for Lamakol's National Democratic Movement. He was speaking with me from Virginia on Monday. A leader from the Abyei disputed area says 8 people were killed and 1 person was seriously injured when unknown gunmen ambushed a passenger vehicle at Toj, 30 kilometers north of Abyei town, over the weekend. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
Musha Magok, a spokesperson for the Abyei administrative area, says the roadside attack is the first this year in the northern part of Abyei near the Sudanese border.
In last Saturday, there was a vehicle that started its trip from Amiet Market towards Sudan. In the vehicle was 13 people, number of people. And those people were going to the north, and I think most of them were from north, not north southern. They fall in an ambush and killed 8 people by unknown gunmen.
Magok warns the attack on Sudanese traders could impede the robbers' business people of Abyei enjoy with the Sudanese.
That road is a pipeline road because all the commodities used to come through that road up to Amiet. And from Amiet, our people here in the south used to take those commodities downwards to another areas in the south. So it is a very important road for us and even also for the Sudan.
Magok says although the UN peacekeeping force in Abyei, or UNISFA, is deployed in both Todach and Difra, reports of suspicious activities by armed militias operating in the area have occurred since the conflict began in late 2013. 2 days ago, UNISFA put out a press release calling for restraint and calm among Abyei communities following Saturday's ambush. Magok refutes allegations by local residents who say the attack could have been carried out by the Arab Messeria nomads.
The area between Todach and Difra belongs to more people. But now, the people who are dominating that area is not the Messeria, because the Messeria nomads now, they are not there any longer now at this season, at the rainy season. They went back up to Mujlid, Babanus, and so forth. But now those who are there are the militias, who are carrying guns, they are armed people. They are belongs to whom, we don't know, whether it belongs to Sudan or where, we don't know.
Magok says his administration is concerned that thousands of South Sudanese who use the Abyei-Difra road via Abyei to reach Sudan seeking a better life could be involved in armed robberies, road ambushes, and other crimes.
So we have to be very careful to investigate those who are going toward the north, especially when they are youth. We used to doubt and to know what's the reason who is taking you to the north. But when they came in form of families, like parents with their children or what, nobody can ask them, they can go through. Because they're looking for a better life. At the same time, this year especially, there is some hunger in so many places.
Magok says Abyei's Amiet Market remains the most widely used market for the people in the area, especially since most roads linking the area with South Sudan have become impassable due to heavy rains. Many local traders say due to bad harvest and insecurity, they are left with no option but to import goods from Sudan. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
An international Christian charity group has announced a $50,000 grant to provide food, seeds, and farming tools to 20,000 men and women in Roop Corner County of former Unity State. Mothers Union says people are going hungry because of the ongoing fighting, poor infrastructure, and bad harvest. Nabil Biagio has more for VOA from Juba.
Mothers Union works with people of all faiths in more than 80 countries around the world, including the Episcopal Church of South Sudan in Sudan. Reverend Joseph Al-Hajj is General Manager of the Sudanese Development and Relief Agency, or SUDRA, which is affiliated with the Episcopal Church of South Sudan in Sudan.
When the government of Southern Sudan decided to announce and call a plea for support of the people affected by the famine in the former Unity State. The ECS Church in Southern Sudan decided to respond through the Development and Renewal Wing, that's SUDRA, to respond and intervene to the crisis. Based on that, we then wrote a proposal.
Mothers Union says many people in Ropkona County were forced to leave their homes because of violence and insecurity, which meant they had to leave their crops behind. Al-Hajj says SUDRA is working with humanitarian partners on the ground to help more than a million people affected by hunger and displacement, especially in Ropkona.
The demand is huge and we're taking all a portion, so we decided to only go to vulnerable groups. So our beneficiaries that we are meeting is mostly women who are lactating mothers, who are widows, and also children who are heading families, and the elderly people as well, disabled.
Harriet Baka is the Provincial Development Coordinator at Mothers Union, which is affiliated with the Episcopal Church. Baka says her office has deployed volunteers who will begin delivering humanitarian assistance to Ropkona residents as soon as the 50,000 donation reaches her office.
Assessment has been made, volunteers were trained, and then even if the need is very huge, but specifically the help will go to the people assessed.
Baka says the money will provide life-saving assistance.
That is for food and also like implements like tools and seats so that they can be able to support themselves.
Baka says the humanitarian needs in former Unity State in Bahr Ghazal are massive.
We know these $50,000 which have been earmarked specifically to go to Ropkona, Unity State and maybe Bahr Ghazal is like a drop in water, though we do thank the efforts of Mothers Union Anglican Alliance. But I still want to raise my voice to say I would want to appeal to the entire international community to make sure that they join hands in the huge demand and the conflict which has affected this country.
Mothers Union says more than 2,500 families have been identified by a rapid stakeholder assessment carried out by the Diocese of Bantu as being those requiring immediate intervention. The group says those families will receive food supplies, farming tools and seeds first, so local farmers can plant crops and provide for their communities in the years to come. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, officials in Jonglei State say the number of cases of people testing positive for HIV is increasing. Find out why when we come back.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
has the concept of friendship changed in our time? Why or why not?
The concept of friendship has changed over the time. We have virtual friends, friends that they have not met but can communicate without even having to be in the same country. Then they get to share a lot of things that normal friends would have done.
In the olden times, when you are friends to someone, it's more or less like a genuine thing. But now, it's like what I can gain from you that I'm being friend to you.
The way you handle it, if you see that person is not well with you, you let that one go. But of course, there is that very person whom you go to and they'll be really friends with you. Me, I have friends that become like even my sisters, yet we are just friends.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. It's time for our Tuesday Health segment. And today, We are talking about the spread of HIV virus in South Sudan. Health officials in Jonglei State say more people are testing positive for HIV than in previous years. Some HIV-positive South Sudanese men are encouraging young people to abstain from engaging in risky sexual behavior. Deng Gai Deng reports for VOA from Bor.
36-year-old John Bull says he tested positive for HIV virus 4 years ago. Speaking in his native Dinka language, Bull says he thinks he contracted the virus from a sex worker.
I am married with 5 children and my wife is in Kakuma refugee camp in Kenya. My wife and I have been living apart for more than 4 years now. Because she was far from me, I began to buy sex with sex workers operating on some of the lodges around here.
Bull says when his wife returned from Kakumba refugee camp, he will take her for an HIV test. He says he hopes she tests negative and will do everything to protect her and his children from getting infected. 35-year-old Obang Omot says in Arabic that he too tested positive for the virus 4 years ago after paying for sex.
I contracted the virus from a woman. I have been engaging in sex with commercial sex workers here in town. You know, it is not easy for anyone to know whether they have the virus or not.
Omot says he and his wife are receiving ARVs from Bori State Hospital. He urges all young people to refrain from having unprotected sex or having relations with sex workers. Bori State Hospital Director Dr. Guy Abraham Kohn says the hospital has recorded a large number of people who tested positive for HIV over the past several months.
According to our clinical impression on what is going on, when you examine, for example, 10 patients, or when you see, you consult 10 patients, you may find 3 to 4 cases each day. So I think the rate could be 20 to 30%, which is really a problem.
Dr. Kohn says those testing positive for HIV are young and old.
The middle age and the old group. The elders are more frequently encountered. And this is striking enough. When you get above 50, developing such a syndrome, this leads to a lot of questionnaire to be answered.
Dr. Kohn says Bori State Hospital provides antiretroviral treatment for as many as 600 HIV AIDS patients, but not all of them take it.
We have the drugs, antiviral drugs concerning HIV are there. We have lost a very great number, very huge number. Yeah, when we admit, for example, 30 a month, we may lose 15 because they present late sometimes because of the stigma.
Jonglei State Health Minister Anguk Gordon Kwal attributes the high rate of HIV infection in the area to a lack of information about the disease. And Kwal says young people often ignore the widespread advice to use condoms to prevent the spread of HIV.
We're trying actually to increase the level of awareness over the radio, sometime in newspapers, sometime in television. To time down the road that more than 10 years, I believe, no any village in South Sudan where people have not heard about HIV and AIDS.
But Kwal says it is a pity to continue seeing so many young people in South Sudan become infected with the HIV virus simply because they are careless in their sexual behavior. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
With just 2 weeks to go before Kenya's elections, the nation watched the opposition presidential candidate Raila Odinga debate solo on Monday. His top opponent, President Uhuru Kenyatta, refused to show up for the live event. For VOA, Muhammad Yusuf reports from Nairobi on what this may tell us about the race ahead.
Opposition leader Raila Odinga had the stage to himself for the televised presidential debate. He responded to questions from the two moderators for 90 minutes.
I am running here because of my commitment to change this country. I represent change.
Odinga promised to address the rising cost of living and to fight corruption, ban those in government from doing business with his administration. He said the current government is overboring on large infrastructure projects. His challenges went unanswered. The podium for his opponent, President Uhuru Kenyatta, stood empty. Kenyatta's team said he will not attend the debate because they were not happy with the format and rules. Kimani Ichungwa is a member of parliament from central Kenya. His party is part of Kenyatta's Jubilee coalition.
We have told you we need to lay out this debate in a certain way that will be fair to everybody, will give and accord Kenyans the opportunity to be able to decide on the basis of issues, not personality fights, not inflaming emotions, political emotions in a country where political emotions are very high at the moment, on account of that principle that the organizers ignored, refused, because they had an ulterior motive.
The presidency released a statement Tuesday saying the president would engage with Kenyans directly, including plans to speak to an additional 40 radio stations before the vote. Three of the other six presidential candidates debated during the first half of the event. This is the fourth time Odinga is running for the top job. The race is expected to be tight, though it is not clear what impact the debate will have on voters. Identity politics remain the norm in Kenya, with ethnicity and regional loyalty governing people's choices at the polls. What Odinga called during the debate a homeboy mentality. But there are some undecided voters, as much as 5% of the electorate. According to recent polls done by Infotrack and Sinovet, those undecided voters were Odinga's target Monday, says Kenyan political commentator Barak Moloka.
The government missed an opportunity to state its position, to call the bluff in what these people are saying, and to show where the weaknesses and failures in these people's thoughts are, if any.
There were no major revelations in Odinga's statement during his solo debate. He pledged to respect the results of a free, fair and credible election. Kenyans go to the polls August 8th. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
That's our show for this Tuesday. We now leave you with the song You Are One in a Million by Justin Simpleman. We've been listening to Justin Simpleman with the song You Are One in a Million. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Would like to know what you think about our show. Our email is southsudan@voanews.com or find us on our Facebook page, South Sudan in Focus. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Done.